It's more sophisticated, yet less complicated. It's more powerful, yet less cumbersome. It can store vast amounts of yesterday, or tell you what's in store for tomorrow. It can draw a picture, or it can draw conclusions. It's a personal computer from Apple, and it's as easy to use as this.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I'm here again with my wonderful, beautiful team of Apple folks. Let's start with Leander Caney, the Leander Caney, author of a groundbreaking expose on Johnny Ive.
That's right. It's blowing a lid up the ID studio.
He exposes the man. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a sec. We're also here with the bearded beauty, Boo Sturheine.
Oh, hey.
That might be one of my favorite of your nicknames yet.
The bearded beauty?
The bearded beauty. Well, I was thinking Boo Sturheine.
Oh, Booster.
The Halloween edition Buster. We've also got back from close to death, near death experience, Alex E. Excelsior Heath. Alex?
Hey.
I'm so happy that you're back. Welcome back.
I'm alive, yes.
And you were on the deathbed, right? In the hospital, you had like pneumonia or something?
Yeah, HIV, actually.
That you can't make a full comeback from that?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, we should do a special episode on that. I'm sure there's some scientists who'd like to hear how you did it. But before we talk about all the great Apple news this week, shout out to Squarespace, who's sponsoring this episode. That's right, squarespace.com. You guys have heard me talk about them before. If you need a website, maybe you want to showcase your photography, maybe you want to build a full-on e-commerce website, maybe you just want to have a blog or a blog, as some people like to call them, Squarespace offers easy-to-build, beautiful websites that you don't even need to know any code to build. And the best part is, when you build your website, they'll auto-scale it to any device that visits. So your website will look great on an iPhone, a Windows phone. I don't know why one of those would be visiting your site. But it'll look great on everything that visits. Go check out squarespace.com/cultcast for a free trial. We'll talk a little bit more about them a little later in the show. And also, I'm going to bring on one of my pals who just set up a Squarespace site and tell you how he likes it. He likes it a lot. Spoiler alert.
Oh.
He comes on and he just talks about
how much fun. Oh, you ruined it now.
Bazinga. It's good.
Let's review. Oh my gosh, I almost skipped this part. This is episode 99. 99 episodes of Cultcast on the wall. 99 episodes of Cultcast. Next week is going to be 100. We are going to be doing a special live video episode next week. We would love for you to join us. That's going to be at 3 p.m. Pacific time on, I think we're going to do it Wednesday, guys. That's what we decided on. So Wednesday, 3 p.m. Pacific. And the audio will still go out as normal. So everyone who subscribes to audio who doesn't want to see our horrendous faces, you'll still hear the conversation. But you're going to want to go to live.thecultcast.com. 3 p.m. on Wednesday, and we're going to have a very special video episode. And also, if there's anything you want us to talk about, tweet at us, email us. I suppose you could send them to me, airfon@cultomac.com, and tweet at any of us. Let us know what you want us to talk about. That's going to be fun. And also, because I like to talk so much, I'm not done yet, I want to say congratulations to Buster Heine.
Oh, what?
For winning week's Fave and Raves.
Suck it.
With a pick of, what was your pick, Buster?
Tweetbot 3.0.
Pretty much everyone picked that.
He only won because I wasn't there.
I knew you would
have. Why, were you going to pick Tweetbot?
Yeah, he picked it for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was disappointed because I had a really great one. And for those of you that, you know, don't mind missing your deliveries because you don't know where they are in your country, you know, go with Tweetbot. But congratulations, Buster. Leander, big news from you. Your book, which we talked a little bit about in past episodes, is available. It's coming out. And you're having a big party next week to celebrate the launch, right?
Yeah, big party, lots of fun.
How, if you had to guess on at between, I'd say like 5 to 20 of how many drinks you're going to have at this event, how many would you have to guess?
Well, yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be at the higher end.
Okay, although, yeah, I think that's
I
got to
keep it under control because I got a bunch of interviews the next day.
Oh, you do?
Plus, yeah, yeah, this is a professional event, so...
Oh, yeah, quote-unquote.
Exactly, yeah. So I won't. I'll try to keep on the download. I mean, normally, like you know, when you go as a reporter, you can drink as much as you want.
Right. And, in fact, they try to get you to drink as much as you can.
Exactly. So you cover the whatever they're selling. Yeah. But this time I'm the host, so I might have to keep it under control. I invited Johnny Ive to the party.
Really? Maybe he'll make a cameo.
Well, his assistant already said that he's out of town, can't make it.
Oh, but you got to talk to his assistant.
Uh huh.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Nice. Cool.
How cool would it be if he showed up, though?
And we're going to invite Waz, too.
Oh nice. Man. That would be awesome.
Waz will be there in a Segway.
He rides in a Segway.
He comes in a Segway.
I hope Johnny Ive reads the book. I hope it's sitting on his desk in his glass cube.
Yeah, well, we're sending it to him. We're sending it to his assistant. So, I'm hoping he's not going to do a Mackenzie Bee sus on me.
Yeah, I hope she does though.
I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean?
Jeff Bezos's wife, she dropped a review of a book that came out about him on Amazon. She was like the first person to give it a 1-star.
That was a 1-star review.
Wow. That would actually be great for publicity though.
Yeah,
oh
exactly.
My god, yeah. I mean, they got 3 days worth of stories out of that.
I would be very surprised if Johnny responded in any way.
I would be too. I think you're going to get crickets from his end.
Don't be so surprised.
But he silent.
We're from England.
Huh? Oh, I hadn't considered that fact. Yeah, he's definitely going to be at your party. Mm-hmm. I just wonder how open he is to the fact of having an expose done on his life. He seems to be a private person.
Well, it isn't. It's not an expose. It's not. You know, it's like it's a really respectful business biography, and I think it really celebrates his work. I mean, it's not an expose at all.
Well, gosh, that's kind of what I wanted to read, though. Like,
I know, unfortunately, that's his biggest weakness.
All I wanted to hear about are, like, his relationships, that
right,
type of
I
thing.
Know.
You're probably just going to talk about Apple stuff and his professional history.
You'll have to wait for his ex-girlfriend.
I know, sorry.
Sex book.
So, Leander, if you had to highlight one of your favorite parts of the book, what would it be? I hate to put you on the spot. Let me give you some Jeopardy music.
Good thing you gave me that question beforehand so I could think about it.
Yeah. Well, while you're thinking, let me vamp for a moment with this. Doon, 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 doon,
favorite part of the book. It's the fourth word on page 76.
Doon, 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 bing, bong.
Booster.
Okay. Just choose one part.
I think
it's your absolute favorite part.
The iPhone chapter. I think the iPhone chapter turned out well because put a lot of work into that and how they designed it. I had a awesome source who was talking for the first time about how they put it together inside the design studio. So I got the view from inside the design studio.
Oh, that is really cool.
I checked all of those images that were leaked during the Apple Samsung trial. They were published online, but it was hard to make sense of them. I'm like, which one, how do they go from this one to this one? And I put a lot of work into piecing that together.
So the timeline of how the iPhone progressed?
Right, exactly. And all the, and so on the missteps and, the different things they tried. I think it's probably the most comprehensive account of how they put it together that's been published so far.
Wow.
And it's going to go. I'm putting it on Medium, so there's going to be a special, enhanced excerpt that's going to go up on Evan Williams's Medium on the day of launch, and that includes a lot of the pictures from the trial. And that's how we wanted to do the book originally, but there were some issues with rights. So this is how I really wanted the book to appear. So I'm pretty psyched about it. It's going to look really good.
I think it's going to be a great book. For those of you who haven't read Leander's, any of Leander's articles on Cult of Mac or his books, He's a great writer, and I think people are really going to enjoy it. No, I mean that, Leander. From the bottom of
my heart.
That's
kind of you to say.
It's only 80% true, though. No, 100%. Yeah, even your stuff on Cultimax is really great. In fact, I'd love to see you write more on Cultimax. So I think people are really going to enjoy this book. And speaking from someone who has heard about all these things from behind the scenes, you put a ton of work into this book. So I'm sure it's going to be number one on the New York Times bestseller list for at least 80 weeks. I'm just going to put that out there right now. That's my prediction. Anyway, it's available for pre-order pretty much everywhere, right, Leander?
Yeah, it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's on iTunes. There's an audio book coming out on the 14th.
Not read by you. That was bollocks.
No, it's being read by – yeah, I think that's probably a good thing. It's some professional voice.
Oh, it's a professional.
Did you get Benedict Cumberbatch?
Somebody knows what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Did you get Benedict Cumberbatch to read it?
Oh, I should have got Benedict. Yeah. Unfortunately,
fellow,
it wasn't available.
A fellow Brit?
Yeah. No, it's some American guy.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure it'll still turn out wonderfully.
Where can we see you talk about the book the next day? You said you're doing a bunch of interviews and stuff. Are you gonna be on any networks or anything?
Yeah, CNBC and the BBC, and I've got radio interviews and some TV interviews all set up. So nice. I'm hoping it, you know, quite a few places.
I bet you're going to be talking about this everywhere. I mean, the book is the first of its kind, right? I mean, people are going to be really interested because there's really nothing else like it.
Yeah, exactly. It's the first full-length biography. And there's a lot of stuff, you know, like he's been very, very private. He hasn't given a lot of interviews, and he tends to talk, as you know, in this kind of designer bullshit. So it's kind of, you know, it's sort of hard to make sense.
Well, now he's definitely not coming
work.
To
and it's
party.
Funny. Yeah, I know. I'm hoping that, you know, the book, I mean, it's funny because when you know a bit more about the work and what he's talking about, it makes a lot more sense what he's saying. You can tell he's been hamstrung by Apple's, you know, PR department and the strictures they put on him, you know, the fact that he can't talk about anything.
Oh,
so
you
can't talk about anything specifically. So he talks about things in the abstract. And so if you can tell what he's talking about, it does make sense. But if you don't, it doesn't. But, you know, he's been really private. And this is a really hard book, too, because, I mean, for years he's been shutting down his life and closing up and making stuff private.
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, you know,
just calling it
his college wouldn't collaborate with us. So, you know, we try to get, like, some transcripts and, you know, details about his projects at school.
Oh.
And he has made all that stuff private, so they can't release it. Even though, you know, it turns out that he was like the best student that school's ever had.
Really?
And he's now a visiting professor, and he's an asset to them. You know, like he's they market the school as, you know, here's where Johnny Ive, the world's most famous designer, studied. So they're very, very protective of his image.
Huh.
And he's done that for every single stage of his life.
Wow.
And he did it years before I came along, because, you know, this is like Steve Jobs' influence in keeping this stuff, you know, secret. And so it was really strange to go through and find out, no, you know, I mean,
like
a college project.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, so there was a lot of knocking on other people's doors to try to, you know, write around this stuff. And I'm proud to say that we did speak to, you know, some of his former students, people who studied with him, and some of his former professors and his high school teachers and friends of his father's and the family. So, you know, I mean, we did get some sources, but my God, it was a lot of work.
So would you say that getting the sources for this book was a lot harder than Inside Steve's Brain?
Well, you know, same sort of thing. Inside Steve's Brain was exactly the same scenario. And this is why I felt like an idiot. Am I a glutton for punishment? Why am I doing this again? You know, it was a year of sort of, you know, prostituting myself in the most pathetic way, begging people to talk.
I'll take that to be literally.
Yeah. You know, so no, it was just as bad with Inside Steve's Brain. I think one thing is different, though. I think, you know, the company has maybe relaxed a little bit more since his death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before, if you talked, you know, the heavens would split and some ancient Old Testament God would smite you into dust. And that is no longer the case. So you know, lips have been a little bit loosened, but people are very strange. I mean, you know, like a lot of the engineers, when I was trying to get details about the iPhone and the iPad and other products, I'd approach people and I'd say, we're doing this huge book about Apple. It's going to be a big deal. Would you like to talk? And immediately it's crickets. They're like, uh-uh. But then if you approach them in a much more low-key way, if you say, you know, I'd like to fight check somebody, something. Someone told me that you did this, that, or the other. Then they're like, no, you know, this is how it happened.
Oh, interesting.
And so they would open up. Yeah, you know, it's like, it's, you know, so this unfortunately was a lesson I learned towards the end of the process and not at the beginning.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of setting the stakes and the expectations was really important for getting people to talk. But still, people still do not want to talk. And, you know, there was a big difference between the executives, people who've been in the press before. You know, like the way to approach them was to say, you know, here's your chance. You don't want to be left out. This is, you know, we're trying to write a first draft of the history. And, you know, you don't want to be left out of this. You want to have your name in there, you know, to make sure that your contribution was recognized. And this totally appeals to their ego. So that opened a few doors.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, right?
And, you know, and they know that, you know, they definitely want to get, if you look at all the accounts that have been out so far, you know, like the stuff that comes from the executives, you know, oh, yeah, it was my idea to do this, and it was my idea to do that. Mm-hmm. And Steve, you know, approved this, and Steve and I talked about this, that, and the other. And then, you know, the truth of the story really is that a lot of this stuff comes from much further down, you know, in the rank and file. Mm-hmm. But the last thing the engineers want to do is talk, because they've signed a stack of NDAs and legal documents, you know, that to the ceiling. And they've never ever talked to the press. And it was interesting, you know, because a couple of people I did get to talk, you could tell that they've never told these stories before. And they came out raw, like raw memories. They haven't even told their wives. They've told no one.
Wow.
So it was really funny to see someone's mind working, you know, because usually people, you know, they've rehearsed something, right? Even in their own head.
Yeah.
So when you're getting them to download, when I was getting them to download some of these stories, you know, it was really, really amazing, because you're seeing this kind of raw playback, a raw memory.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting.
Crying, did I talk a bit laughing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, some of them were moved to tears. I mean, yeah, definitely. I got really lucky, because I got to talk to Doug Satsky, who's now at Intel. He was one of Johnny's longtime collaborators. He was in charge. He was inside the design lab when there was, like, you know, six or seven of them back in 96 when Jobs first came back. And Jobs was going to fire the whole lot and shut down the industrial design studio. And Johnny did a great job of sticking up for the whole team and persuading Jobs to keep him on. Because Jobs wanted to bring back Hartmut Esslinger, you know, the frog designer.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And so he, you know, he lobbied really well for everyone's jobs there. And of course, Jobs went over to the design studio, which is off campus, and saw this amazing space where they had all these prototypes on these crazy funky computers that were experimenting with see-through plastic and very organic shapes. And he'd never seen anything like it, you know. And of course, you know, they bonded, and that's where the iMac and all the other products came from, was this collaboration. But, you know, he was, Doug Satsky was amazing, because he was there from the very beginning when Jobs came back to right up to the iPad era. And he was the first person I've talked to at Apple that really opened up, that gave me the complete download.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. You know, it was really amazing what he said.
Wow. And of course, for those of you who are fascinated with these stories that Leander downloaded, he's uploaded them into his new book. I can never remember the full name. Leander, would you please?
It's Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest book.
That's a great title, too. You said you didn't come up with it, though, right? It was your publishing company?
Oh, no, it's all mine, yeah.
Oh, was it? Huh.
No, Inside Steve's Brain was the one I didn't come up with.
Oh.
Because, are we going to... And I managed to send an email to somebody about that accidentally went to all of the editors at the publishing house.
Uh-huh.
With my unvarnished opinion about that title. No, I fought hard not to have that, but I lost that one.
And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Leander, we got to take a quick break. And guys, when we get back, I want to run something by you. You guys may have heard about J.D. Power ranking Samsung tablets better than Apple tablets for the first time ever. This is horse crap. We're going to get to the bottom of this. We won't let this stand. Stick with us, y'all. We'll be right back. Hey, where's my book, y'all? Hey, everyone. Got something special this week. We're going to be talking about Squarespace, who's sponsoring this episode. And I thought I'd bring my friend on, Roberto Hoyos, founder of Throwboy. Some of you might know him. He just moved to a Squarespace website. I thought we could get his opinion on how much he likes it. Hey, Roberto, welcome.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hola. So, as I said, you have a cool pillow company. You guys just released some cool Mac emoji pillows.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys also just launched a brand new website on Squarespace.com. So you have the inside track. You're not a coder at all.
No.
And how easy did you find it to get set up with Squarespace?
It was really easy, man. Like, I'd heard about it on your show, and I was like, oh, you know what? let me go ahead and do it, you know, because mm-hmm. before we had a custom site. So I just kind of jumped in and didn't need a credit card or anything like that. And I could actually just start kind of playing with it. Because that was the thing. I was like, I want a really solid e-commerce experience. So I started playing with it. And I actually had a designer design this whole site for me. And I ended up just using one of their templates for the most part.
You mean one of Squarespace's templates?
Yeah, exactly. Like, for the most part, I just kind of tweaked it a little with, you know, backgrounds and kind of sliders and stuff. Because everything is just totally WYSIWYG. It's really simple. And we've heard this all the time, but it really is like super easy. And then, I mean, the bigger thing was, you know, there's a lot of e-commerce solutions out there right now. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of really intrigued. I was like, oh, I want to see how good theirs is. And it is really easy to add products and, you know, tweak all the kind of settings with your products. Like I said, everything's just drag and drop.
And you were saying the social stuff is really easy to integrate too, right?
Yeah, the social, like putting, you know, all your Twitter buttons and Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff, that's really easy to set up. You just plug it into the back end. But then what's cool about Squarespace is my old website was, of course, you can see it on your iPhone, you can see it on mobile, but it looks stupid because you have to zoom into it and it's not actually a mobile experience.
Mm-hmm.
But on Squarespace, everything just auto formats. They actually like are saving other versions, other sizes of every photo that you upload. So when you put it on your phone, it's automatically formatted for an iPhone. It has a special menu for it, and it's really awesome.
Well, I want to encourage everyone, if you need a photography website to showcase your work, maybe you're trying to start an e-commerce website like Roberto did, go check out throwaway.com, see what he did. His site was designed by him, all drag and drop without doing any code. Check out those new emoji pillows too. And then head on over to squarespace.com/cultcast and sign up for your 2-week free trial. They don't need your credit card information or anything. It's super easy to get signed up. Try it out. And if you like it, you can enter the code cultcast11 at checkout and you're going to save 10% off your order. That's whether you order a month of service or a whole year of service, you'll save 10% off. I want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring yet another episode of the Cultcast. Go give them a shot. squarespace.com/cultcast. And we're back! Welcome back to the Cultcast, everybody. Alex, during the break, we were talking about privacy. I know you're real big on privacy. You like to have your, or as Johnny I likes to say, privacy. And Apple did something this week that was newsworthy, I thought, because a lot of companies try to hide this kind of information. They basically revealed what the government, and I think it's the U.S. government, correct, has been asking
no,
them
it
for.
Was a lot of governments.
It was all the governments.
Not all the governments. It was like about a dozen of, you know, where its largest customer bases are.
Okay. And they came out and said, here's what we've been asking for and stuff.
Yeah, well, with all the NSA stuff and PRISM and there's been allegations that iMessage isn't actually secure and that Apple can send your iMessages over to the government if they're subpoenaed and stuff like that. So Apple's come under a lot of fire, as have a lot of other big tech companies over this. And so they published this report, and it's really the first of its kind from any company that's just kind of transparently showing how many requests they've received from governments for what specific things. And they can't say specifically what they've given over because of the gag order, at least in the U.S. But they're just showing all of the different kinds of like requests for device information that they've gotten. And the funniest thing is that the U.S. is like exponentially higher in every single category mm-hmm. compared to every other country. It's like almost triple to quadruple the amount of requests from law enforcement. And yeah, so Apple's pushing for greater transparency with this, and they're, you know, lobbying and stuff to be able to share in more detail what the government's been requesting from them.
I think this is awesome. I mean, if the government's going to ask for our datas, we should at least be privy to the fact that it's being asked for and know potentially what could be given over to the NSA.
And they really took a shot at like Google and Facebook, because they were like, we should make it clear that our business isn't in collecting personal data at all. So this isn't even we don't even see this as a part of our business. We sell hardware and software. And whereas Google and Facebook obviously are out there to get as much data about you as possible. So they were also kind of taking shots at some other guys in the report. But yeah, it's definitely a good thing, and it's something that more companies should replicate.
It makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. I don't say that jokingly either. Like, I feel like Apple oftentimes goes out of their way to do what's right for the consumer instead of just kicking back and doing nothing. And I think that that is present in a lot of aspects of their business, and it seems to be something that, I don't know if this is necessarily true, but I feel like it's attributed to Tim Cook, the Tim Cook policy, where he just seems very forthright and genuine, and he seems like he's into civil liberties. So I wonder if this kind of thing would have happened on Steve Jobs' watch.
Yeah, I don't know.
Before Steve died, they came out publicly in support of the California version of this law, right? Healthcare partners. Just before he died, it was like a year or two before.
They've always been about this kind of transparency, but this is definitely the first time that they've gone that they've shared to this extent and really put their stake in the ground.
Hey guys,
op-eds. I mean, sorry,
go ahead, Leander.
That's all right. No, I mean, I was just going to bore you to tears with it.
No, I was hanging off every word, and I feel bad that I interrupted you. So please continue.
I haven't seen an op-ed before, but Steve used to write those letters from Steve, right? Remember, he wrote one about DRM and. There was another one about another issue. I forget what it was, but
Flash.
Yeah, it's rare for them to come out and put a stake in the ground though.
Antennas. Hey, let's move on to a bit of news about Samsung, or as I like to call them, Scamsung. JD Power and Associates. I don't know if they're an international agency or business, but they're well known here in the U.S. and they basically rate stuff. So they'll test it. They do this for cars and electronics. And they say, this is good. This is not as good. This is horrible. And they recently rated Samsung tablets as better than Apple's iPad line of tablets, which was shocking to a lot of people. Correct me if I'm getting it wrong.
They said that based on customer satisfaction scores, customers are more satisfied with the iPad.
Okay. Fair enough. So... That was their conclusion, right? So I have the 2013 tablet ratings document here in front of me, and I want to read you guys these scores and see, and you tell me if their conclusion is correct. Okay, well, we're a little biased, admittedly. Okay, overall satisfaction: Samsung gets a 5 out of 5. Apple gets a 5 out of 5. Performance: Samsung gets a 3 out of 5. Apple gets a 5 out of 5. Ease of use: Samsung gets a 3 out of 5. Apple gets a 5 out of 5. Physical design: Samsung gets a 4 out of 5. Apple gets a 5 out of 5. Okay, you're seeing a pattern develop here. Tablet features: Samsung gets a 4 out of 5. iPad gets a 5 out of 5. But here's the big defining factor. Samsung, on cost, gets a 4 out of 5. Apple gets a 2 out of 5. So it kind of seems to me that basically if you can create just a big piece of shite tablet, that's pretty good, but you just don't charge very much for it, JD Power and Associates is okay calling that the one with the most customer satisfaction. Because truly, the only thing that Apple didn't score 5 out of 5 on here is the cost. So their products are more expensive. Everyone knows that. But they gave the award to Samsung because their cumulative score, I guess, was just barely higher than Apple's. Does anyone else think this is a steaming pile of bull manure, or is it just me?
I really don't care about JD Power. So
exactly. I mean,
but normal people care do. About,
well, no, they don't.
I think they do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, I think they do. I think Apple, Earthon's right.
Yeah, yeah, and Apple busts out these type of ratings all the time. You know, oh, we're, you know, the iPhone I think has like 10 surveys straight scored at the top. You know, and Apple likes to brag about that. So it is important to them in some ways because it's like a good way for old people to know what's good, really. Like,
yeah, Leander, is that true?
Well, yeah.
That was an underhanded joke. Sorry, Leander.
I fell for that there for a second.
Underhanded joke. Sorry.
Who looks at J.D. Power? Who are
old
are
people?
Moms,
that's well,
are
I
moms
think,
looking
man.
At J.D. Power.
I don't think moms are, but I think it's something that a lot of companies use to advertise. Yeah. So I mean, you'll see car ads all the time, rated J.D. Power and Associates, most safest car of 2013. I mean, it gives them these credentials that they can use when they're promoting their products from a neutral agency. So, yeah, I think people pay attention to it. And I think, especially because with Samsung, a lot of their strategy seems to be, let's just copy most of what we can from Apple and sell a product that's similar enough that for the general marketplace, they might be tricked into buying our product. My words. My words. Not theirs. But that seems to be what their strategy is. And then if you come along and get a ratings agency to say, oh, yeah, these are actually better than Apple products. Oh, and they're less expensive. I mean, that would convince a lot of moms, I think, to buy it for their teenage kids who end up getting angry they didn't get an iPad.
I don't know. At the same time, Android tablets are kind of closing in on the gap with Apple. So I think stuff like this is expected too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess you kind of look at it as an overall score, not to defend JD Power and Associates, but probably Samsung tablets might appeal to more people if they're cheaper, but it's a crappy score, man. Sorry.
I hear people say Samsung tablets are catching up to Apple's.
Well, actually, I don't know about Samsung tablets. Like the Nexus tablets and the Kindle Fires are both really good. I haven't really seen a Samsung tablet that's great though, you know?
Yeah, I haven't either. And, you know, full disclosure, I haven't played with a lot of Android tabs. I know there's a lot of Android tabs out there. There's the ones that are actually really nice, like the Samsung products, and then there's the ones that probably aren't as nice, like the generic, you know, Westinghouse or Philips type Android tabs. So I don't know. I never see anyone with an Android tab out in the wild. Just like I never see people in, you know, the wild with a Surface tablet. Although I see more of those in the Android tabs. I just think this is misleading. I think it's very misleading. And when JD Power and Associates was approached, they basically said, from my understanding, that because their score was, they based it on the total score and not per category, that Samsung wins out. So not that anyone on this podcast would ever buy, or anyone who listens to this podcast would ever buy an Android tab. I'm sure there are people out there, but they're in the minority. But I know how much you guys like it when I give you the truth about Samsung. My listeners love it. They're like, yeah, just say bad stuff about them. I don't hate Samsung, by the way. They make great TVs. Let's wrap up with this story. Buster, I think you're really going to enjoy this because I know that you were looking for a second job.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple is going to be building a Sapphire glass manufacturing plant in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
You're in Mesa, Arizona, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Wow, so you actually might get to go tour this factory.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Drive down to it, I guess.
Maybe put on a beard net and work there. You probably would have to wear a beard net, would be my guess.
Yeah, you got to make sure that glass is clean.
You want that glass to be spotless. Of course, Apple uses the sapphire crystal glass for all sorts of stuff in their various iOS products. It goes over the camera in your iPhone and your iPad. It's over the Touch ID sensor on your new iPhone 5S. So they use this stuff like crazy. But I think the larger conversation, and we've talked about this before, is really awesome that Apple's bringing these manufacturing jobs to the U.S.
Right.
I mean, Buster, you very well might know someone who ends up going to work here. They're going to be hiring up to 2,000 people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in Phoenix, like, everybody's actually really stoked about it. I had like one friend who seriously wants to go work there, even though, but it's not going to be managed by Apple. Mm-hmm. It's with some other company that, so it won't even look like an Apple plant or anything, but still it would be awesome to be part of the process to build iPhones in America.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just really cool that Apple, again, onto the topic before, where it seems like Apple's just trying to really do right by consumers. You know, a lot of people complain about how stuff's being made in China, and here they are making a concerted effort to bring jobs and bring manufacturing back to the U.S. I haven't really heard of very many other companies that are that have this kind of influence and reach that are doing the same thing. So I think that's really cool. Maybe made in the USA is starting to become cool again.
Maybe.
That's what Motorola is doing, right? For the Moto X.
Well, I think, yeah, when you customize it, it's built in the U.S.
I mean, assembled.
Assembled, yes.
Get your facts right, Buster. Sorry, this is a show about facts. You know that. Gonna make sure our facts are right. I mean, does it warm anyone else's heart? Is it just me? Am I too patriotic about this? And I'm like, yeah, this is really cool.
No, I mean, it is cool. It's this like preview of this possible future where, you know, the majority of the assembly takes place in the U.S. But we're still such a long ways off from that. I mean, the Sapphire is a very, very small component in the iPhone. It's used on the camera sensor and Touch ID, and that's it right now.
Right. Yeah.
And it could be used for more things later. It's a really good material for, like, say, a wearable. Hint, hint.
Ooh.
Snippity
snap snap.
It's not a huge. It's, you know, it's not like they're making the screens in the U.S. all of a sudden. You know.
Yeah, that's never gonna happen.
Cool.
Let's be assembled here. All right, guys. Well, hey, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Before we do, though, remember, next week, live video episode. You're going to get to see me. You're going to get to see Leander. Buster's beard is like 4 feet long now, and that's going to be there attached to his face. It's going to be a grand old time. Head over to live.thecultcast.com. That's going to be 3 p.m. on Wednesday. Don't miss that. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. We would love it if you'd come join us. Say howdy on Twitter. Leander's L. Caney. I'm at ERFON. Buster's BST3R. Alex's Alex E. Heath. And make sure you're following Cult of Mac for all the best in news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Actually, we are going to see them. See us next time.
Guys, I'm probably not going to be able to make that.
Guys next time. What? No, Leander, just do whatever you've been doing.
That's ridiculous.
Alex. We don't have time. We don't have time for Leander to affect that change.
I can't hear you guys.
Turn the volume knob then.
No.
On your road. Do you have your headphones?
You guys are ding dongs. You don't have. It says. So, you haven't got a clue what you're talking about. This is embarrassing for an Apple podcast. God, no one can hear this.
I'll make sure I air this segment in its entirety.